This is the Marketing Development Podcast, brought to you by the Marketing Development Academy, the online community designed to help you develop your marketing business, skills, and career by exploring the world of marketing and entrepreneurship. Here is your host, Pete Everett.
Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name is Pete Everett, and today I am joined by a fellow British gentleman who's from far further down south, nearer the Queen than I am. Mr. Adam King. Adam, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, thanks, Pete. And I think that's the first time I've ever been referred to as a gentleman. So, yeah, I think I'm going to go and get my bowler hat and walking stick after this. So thanks very much.
It can only go downhill from here.
Absolutely.
So Adam and I have, well, we've met a few times now, haven't we? Actually, in real life. I do some of these podcasts and I've never met the person before. And it's all a bit weird, but we've actually met in real life. We've shaken hands, we've shared a beer, and yeah, it's great to have you on the show, mate.
Yeah, we're still talking, which is remarkable. So yeah, it's great. But no, it's like you say, sometimes in this online world with everyone hyper connected and everything, it's not actually all that common sometimes to even meet your own clients, especially if you work international and that kind of stuff. And that's the beauty of technology, obviously, but also sometimes you need that human connection sometimes, and you know, break bread, share a beer. I think it's great. So
well, you're more than welcome, mate. It's a pleasure to have you with us. So for those of you that are uneducated like myself and don't know who Adam King is, give us the breakdown. Who are you, what do you do, where do you come from, all that kind of stuff.
So yeah, I call myself the captain here at my business, Think Like a Fish, and that is a growth marketing consultancy where we work with primarily service business owners, B2B, and really to help them get past any sort of growth plateau or revenue plateau or client generation plateau that a lot of established businesses get to, and they don't know what to do to get through the plateau into the next level, because that old saying, what's got you here is not going to get you there, that kind of thing. So yeah, what we do is help them to create a, you know, we have a marketing methodology that we use, but we basically help them to implement that into their business that does things at scale and it grows with them. So it's not something you just do once and then you're done. It kind of grows with them as they scale as well. So that's the day job. And yeah, I also host my own podcast. Everyone's got podcasts this day, haven't they? So called the Client Catching Podcast, which it sort of brings on people that have successfully built 6- and 7-figure service businesses, or they are marketing experts that help those kind of businesses achieve that so that other people can learn from other people's journey. So in a nutshell, that's it.
So yeah, and it's your Think Like a Fish stuff was the, we were at a conference together, weren't we? And that's where we first met and where we started having a chat. Because you know, our agency services very similar customers to those that you are servicing as well. So now I know though that obviously you deal a lot with established businesses that are plateauing or have plateaued. Is that the
That tends to be, you know, they've plateaued, or they're just looking to sort of move a lot further, a lot faster. So they could be on the upward trajectory, but you know, they want to scale faster, and some of the sort of ways that we help people do that can help them achieve it quite quickly. So but that's not to say that it doesn't also work for people that are you know, just starting. A lot of those sort of techniques and some of the things that I have out there as well, it's all based on a particular level of growth. I have a scorecard, for example, which depending on where you are and when you come out, when you answer that, you will see specific strategies that will work better for where you are on your growth curve, as it were, because not every strategy is right for every business at every level of growth, because you're not necessarily going to have either the time or the resources to do certain things, or the knowledge or the know-how or the time, because that's what ultimately is the most precious commodity that we all have available, no matter what stage of growth we're in.
You know, I think that's a key thing. I was actually going to lead on to this this question to start talking about people starting out in business, but you have actually hit on something that's maybe just worth spending a few minutes on now, which is that there's often a misconception that people see that each method of growth is a bit like a template, that they have to do it in a particular way, where actually the whole thing about being in a business is being unique and serving your audience, serving your niche, serving whatever term you want to put around it, but doing it in your way and with your style. And I think that that's something that's really important as you look at these models of growth, be it from zero to your first five figures, or from your five figures to six to seven, whatever it might be, it still needs to be you doing it.
Absolutely. So, I mean, what I sort of say to that is, yeah, you have to put your own spin on. Otherwise, let's be honest, that, you know, there are hundreds, if not thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of businesses that offer marketing services, right? Mm-hmm. You and I are, you know, quite in a pretty bloody red ocean, let's be honest. And I will use fishing analogies as I go through this. So if I apologize to your audience if you can't stand fishing, but, you know, it's what I use to explain a lot of this stuff. So you've got to figure out ways to stand out. And when you're starting out, that is possibly one of the most important times. You really need to think about how you're going to be different, how you're going to show up to your clients. What is your unique offer? What is the unique result that you get for someone? How do you solve a very specific problem for a very specific type of client? And how do you position your offer in a way that speaks to the outcome that they want? Mm-hmm. Now, if you're starting a business, that's one of the, those are some of the things you absolutely need to have considered before you even go out and try and do anything, because you can simply hang your sign on the door and say, I'm a business owner, I'm a freelancer, I do, you know, I'm a web designer, I'm a designer, I'm a whatever it is you're going to be. But so are a lot of other people. And there's a lot of those people that you can go onto things like Upwork or Fiverr and find. Mm-hmm. And you're competing against very low cost providers in that way. So what is different about you? Why should you be the one that your ideal client wants to work with? And yet the irony is, a lot of the established businesses that I end up working with, it's the first thing we have to fix.
And it does make you, do you ever walk into like a discovery session or a discovery call or whatever it might be, and then something comes out and you think, hang on a minute, how did you get here?
I think that a lot of the times, I don't necessarily think, how did you get here? Because I know how they got here. They got there with hard work, hustle. Often the person that started the business is the chief rainmaker of the business. They've networked the heck out of every single local event, national event, all that kind of stuff. And they have got to where they are by building great relationships with some key people. And that is a great way to start. That is a fantastic way to start. However, is it sustainable? If it's all based on you, as you've pointed out, if it's just based on you and you going out there and expelling energy, at some point that energy is going to deplete to the point where it ain't going to be as effective. So you've got to be able to do something different to get to that next level. And usually I find that happens around the sort of between the 3 and 5 year mark with businesses.
That's a very interesting observation that you've got there. And it certainly is. It's certainly something I can relate to through the growth of our own business. And I know that as our agency's grown, you get to certain points where, you know, particularly if you're setting financial targets for yourself or something like that. I guess financial targets are the easiest ones to understand in the context of a podcast when you're trying to explain stuff. But you're saying, right, I'm going to get to a quarter of a million pound turnover this year, and you'll break through 200 and it will seem like it's easy, and then the next 40 grand, my god, it's like pulling teeth. And that's the experience that, you know, it's never plain sailing. It is all about it's all about riding these waves of I was going to say uncertainty, but that's not quite what I mean. But the certain things you're not in control of, but putting the systems and the processes and the marketing collateral and the messaging and all of that stuff in place, so that those, whilst no business is ever going to be on a smooth, you know, you're earning this every month and that's how you get from target A to target B, you're smoothing out some of those bumps and kinks on the way. I guess that's really what we're trying to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been doing this for over 16 years now, and I can pretty much guarantee that 90 to 95% of people that struggle with the idea of marketing, attracting clients, that kind of thing, if you go back, you find that the number one reason is because their strategy has not been mapped out from the beginning, and there's a lot of randomness and inconsistency in how they go about trying to achieve it. And if you've got all that randomness, you're just going to get random results because you don't have something that is effectively guiding every decision you make. I mean, the way I liken it is, if you're going to go on a trip anywhere, there's three things that you need to know. What would you say that they are?
Where you're going, how are you going to get there, and have I forgotten the kids?
Well, I don't think Macaulay Culkin is part of your family, but it's not far off. It's not far off. So, yeah, you get about 80% score there. But it's essentially where you are now, where you want to get to, and how you're going to get there, right?
Okay.
And that is the same when it comes to growing a business or thinking about growing a business or marketing your business, because you need to know where you're starting from before you even know how you're going to get to where you want to get to. So you've got to take some stock over where you are now. If you're just starting, that's going to be fairly simple. If you're established, you need to do a bit of soul searching. You need to get into knowing, you know, your numbers. You know, what is your sales close rate? What is your lead to sales conversation rate? All those kinds of things. And then sort of work out, okay, my goal is X. It's, you know, 500,000 turnover a year, let's say. Well, from where you are now, if you're 250, you want to double your business in 12 months. You now know where you are now, i.e. all of those numbers. So if you need, I don't know, 12 clients to get to your, or 12 new clients to get to your revenue target of 500, mm-hmm. you know you need 12 clients over a year. So you need to know, okay, let's say I enroll 2 clients out of every 10 that I speak to and make a serious offer to. That means, bad math in my head, what is it, about 60 conversations you need to have over a year. So that's what you need to generate. That's what your marketing needs to focus on. So you then need to think, okay, how many leads, inverted commas, because the way I define a lead may be slightly different, but how many of those people that have essentially gone from being invisible to visible to your business so that you can follow up with them? How many people do you need to bring into your ecosystem, that I refer to it, in order to generate those 60 conversations? Yep. Now that, you know, let's say you're doing 2 out of every 100 of those leads, well, that means over a year, 6,000 leads. So now you've got a map, right? You've got something that is going to guide. You can now make a decision around what you're going to do in order to achieve those numbers. Because if you needed 1,000 clients, that's going to dictate a very different set of tactics to, say, someone that needed 10.
Yep.
So it makes everything a little bit more simple when you understand where you are now, where you want to get to, because then you're forced to figure out the how of how you're going to get there.
And it's so important to really dive into that, because it's likewise saying that I want to get from 250,000 to 500,000 in 12 months. Great. So now you've got that target. Can your business actually cope with that?
Absolutely. So one of the things that I say to someone when I ask them that question, where do you want to get to? I ask them the question, what level of growth do you need to achieve that you can realistically fulfill on in the next 12 months that would mean that you're happy with your progress? What is that revenue target? So I always put that caveat in there because, yeah, of course, we can all dream.
Absolutely. I'm on a yacht in the Caribbean somewhere. But we have a thing that we use with our SEO clients, and it's in the SEO course that we've done as well, called the Circle of Truth. And it's basically it's a bit like a 3 concentric circles, and you start on the inner one, which is your current position. So we ask the clients about what was their turnover, what was their average customer value, what was their customer retention rate, et cetera, number of leads, how many from digital sources, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. And then we then skip forward. We normally do it in 3 years. We skip forward 3 years and say, right, so in 3 years' time, where do you want to be? And we then fill out the outer circle with the same data, but with their dreams and aspirations. And then from there, you can then fill in the gaps and then say, right, so if your customer, if you've had 1,000 customers to get to where you are now, in order to triple your revenue, you're then going to need 3 times the number of customers. Can you service that? Or would it be better to sell more, but to your existing customers, so that you're increasing your average customer value from X to Y rather than new customers, for example. And it doesn't take you very long to start breaking their business.
100% agree. Because it becomes an exercise in filling in the gaps. And I like what you've said there about how a lot of the time we automatically assume the only way to grow a business is by acquiring new clients. Whereas actually, for the majority of businesses, especially established ones, and it's why I like working with established ones, because they have history, they have existing clients, they have database, all that kind of thing. The first thing that we look at is how to reconnect with existing past clients, past prospects, all that kind of thing, to potentially increase the average value of a particular client. You'd be amazed at the amount of people that haven't had a conversation with a client for like 12 to 18 months, 2 years. And these are people that absolutely love what they do. And then when we have this sort of process that we put in place where they reach out and have a conversation, and they're so surprised when they're like, oh, it's so nice to hear about, you know, hear from you. Oh, but we were thinking about needing something. And it's great that you've called. And sometimes other times it can really be quite upsetting because they go, oh, if only you'd have called us last week.
Yeah.
Because we've just signed on with somebody else doing pretty much what we were doing with you. But to be honest with you, we forgot.
Yeah. We hadn't heard from you in a while.
We hadn't heard from you. So
we went and found somebody else.
The importance of follow up, the importance of staying top of mind, adding value and all that kind of stuff. But sometimes it's just about reconnecting and having a conversation again. So starting with, your fastest route to growth is your existing clients. Like that's a secret if you want to put one in, if there is one. Crazy, I know. That's there's no secret hack or magic funnel for that. It's go and have another conversation with your existing clients. If they're not ready for something, is there someone that they know in their network that you could have a conversation with?
Yeah, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with having a discussion with somebody. At the end of the day, people love talking about themselves. So,
but that's why you invite people onto a podcast, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I can do as little talking as possible, but they do love talking about themselves. So to tee up something that says, like at the end of each project, that obviously we're a web design agency. So we do work in projects. I'll use that as the example, but we get to the end of a project and we try to have a conversation with every client that says, we hope you're delighted with your new website, whatever it was that we've done for you. We'd love to run a case study on it. Can we book in a time to have a chat and we'll just ask you a few questions? And we ask through those questions. And you know what? One of the last questions we always ask on that call is, so do you know of anybody that in your circle that we could help out just like we've helped you? And it would be amazing. Some of the stuff that we get back is just incredible. And it's just hot leads straight into your system.
Because what's beautiful about that as well is you've now got a case study, and I'm assuming you do it by video maybe or something like that, that you can then use as the lead-in.
Yeah.
So-and-so recommended that we have a conversation. I believe that you know them. By the way, this is what they said about it. I'd love to have a conversation and see if we could do something similar to you.
Yeah, and that's...
A mornings or afternoons better for you.
Like, yeah.
Easy.
that's as simple as it becomes.
I think that's the real challenge when it comes to any kind of marketing, sales, business advice, all that kind of thing. We make it overcomplicated. And I know, you and I are in digital marketing and we will geek out on this till, next Thursday. However, it's not necessarily the first thing that people in business are best suited to go for. And that's what I always say when I talk to people. It's like, I'm having a conversation with you. I have no idea if this is what I do going to be right for you. We need to discover where you are now, where you want to get to, and then we can figure out how to get there. And that may or may not be with some form of digital marketing. It may be that actually, I'm just going to tell you to go back to your past clients and do exactly what you and I have just discussed there.
It could be. Absolutely.
And then come back to talk to me later.
So that I think that's been a really valuable part of this discussion, and it wasn't quite where I was expecting it to go. But you're a guy that likes talking about yourself. What can I say?
Hey, I've got two kids and a wife. I don't get the chance very often.
Brilliant. But one of the things I get asked loads, and I've asked this to other people on the podcast as well, but I'd love to know what you think about it, because you have such a good way of explaining these things, even if we do have to get a bit angry about it. But when people are setting out on this journey, they often look at people like yourself and myself that have podcasts, that have our Facebook groups, that have our email lists, all of those kind of things, and say it's easy for you because you've got it all sorted out. So how do I start? Where do I begin? So if you were, let's rewind the clock back a little bit, Adam, and go back to when thinking like a fish wasn't even, you didn't even have the fish. Where would you start? Where did you start? What advice would you give to people about to sort of head off on that entrepreneurial journey?
Well, the first thing to say is that no matter who you're looking up to, whether it's I, someone in your network, the Gary V's, the Tim Ferriss's of the world, all that kind of, they all started with zero. Mm-hmm. What you don't see is the amount of work that is put in to get them to where they are.
Yep.
So that's the first sort of caveat. It's kind of like, yeah, they've had to go through what you're about to go through. You have to make a decision, actually, whether you want to go through it. That's the first thing I say, because it's not for everyone. It's not this sort of romanticized like idea of being the new age rock star. Mm-hmm. It's blooming hard work growing a business. So that's the first caveat I always put into it. Actually make a decision. Do you want to go through the amount of work that it takes? And the second thing is, I wouldn't necessarily do it the way that I did it. If I was to do it again, I would do things differently, because I did a lot. I made all the mistakes that I kind of talk about. I wasn't focused. I did a lot of things that were random, and I changed what I was doing and all that kind of thing. But now if I had to go back, I would... first of all, do what I mentioned earlier, which is get very, very specific on the foundations, which is knowing what my goal is for my first year, getting an offer absolutely nailed on for a very, very specific target client, but making it about the outcome that they can achieve. It's kind of like, if I could offer you, Pete, to be able to get you 5 to 20 sales appointments for your agency every single month, would you be open to talking about that?
Yes.
Right. So that's the kind of offer that I would consider coming up with as something that I am then going to go out and talk to in the world. And then I would simply go out, I'd use something like LinkedIn, I would go networking, I would do something, and I would make that offer to as many people that fit my ideal client profile as it's possibly... that I could possibly do, because you'll get instant feedback. You'll get, okay, yeah, let's have a talk, or no thanks. Then you need to adjust your offer, test it. And that's how I'd start. And I know it doesn't sound sexy, because that's what you need. And when you're starting, you just need to get revenue. You need money coming in so you can pay your bills and you can, you know, move on to next month. But that's how I would start. And then you can start thinking about adding systems. Then one of the next things I'd do, and you could do this along the way. You and I, we've got podcasts. Not everyone's going to want to start a podcast, but having a platform is huge. That has been the single biggest difference in my business, is having a podcast. I've always got something to invite people to. I can have conversations now with people that would previously... not even sort of glance my way. I'm seen as this pesky marketer, because when you contact someone, it's kind of like, I felt that I was saying, hey, how you doing? I'd love to talk to you and try and sell you something. I have no idea if you need, but do you want to have that chat? Well, no, thank you. Whereas now I have a platform, and it's all about, hey, I saw something that you did about a great example of doing great work. I'd love to help you share that story on my podcast. Up for it? Totally different. And then you get to have conversations with either potential clients or potential partners that could then help spread your message, you could collaborate with, and who could start to refer business your way. And those are the two things that I would do.
You see, you make it sound so easy.
from a very high level, those are the simple steps. The actual process, yes, of course, there's, for a podcast, there's technical things to set up. But they're not as difficult as they used to be.
They're really not. And I think that's you know, I mean, we started this discussion with talking about how technologies can be as much of a blessing as it is a curse. But when it actually comes to getting your message out there, you know, the tools have never been easier than they are now.
I mean, podcasting for me now is strategic networking. It's as much as I value my audience. And I love when I get messages from people saying what they've gotten out of the podcast and what they've learned and they liked, you know, what one of the guests said and all the rest of it. The real value of a podcast is the networking, because you can specifically identify the kind of people you want to network with and potentially have a half an hour to even up to an hour phone conversation where you get to really understand someone, find out about them, let them talk about themselves, let them get their message out. And my God, you feel pretty good afterwards. I'm going to walk off of this, you know, kind of walking on air a bit, because as I say, it's the first time I get to talk about myself in a while because of the home life. But you know, it's one of those things, and it's all about, it's that psychology thing. It's that reciprocity, you know, the whole Cialdini thing. And to quote another well-known author and book, the Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad Poor Dad, what he talks about is, or one of the quotes he uses, and I'll probably butcher it, the wealthiest and most successful people in the world build and grow their network. Everyone else looks for work.
That's it. That's a good way. Yeah, that is a very good way of putting it. Even if you have butchered it, we'll give you credit for that one.
When you're starting, that's what you've got to focus on, because that network, I mean, it's absolutely true. Your network becomes your net worth.
You know, you're just, Chris Ducker would say you're dropping the value bombs all over in this episode. I didn't sound enough Chris Ducker-esque like then, did I? It just sounded like me saying, value bombs.
Well, again, that's an example. I've had the fortunate pleasure of, you know, interviewing him. And that wouldn't have come about. I wouldn't have had a conversation with Chris Ducker for an hour without having a podcast. And if you don't know who Chris Ducker is and you're listening to this, he's a bald guy that likes Marmite and is very successful at growing a personal brand business. So a lot of what he would teach would be very apt to having a look at for what we're talking about here. But I wouldn't have had that without having a platform.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's, you know... It feels kind of a bit weird sometimes when you're doing this stuff, I'm not just necessarily referring to podcasting. Networking, public networking meetings don't really come all that easily to me. It's all a bit artificial and a bit strange and a bit too much about the breakfast than actually about doing business and all that kind of stuff. Sometimes you've just got to get over that. You know what? Nobody's going to do anything to you at any of these, through any of these channels, that's going to do you any harm. It just might feel a little strange, but once you've done it three or four times, you kind of get used to it. But it's about having that confidence to put yourself out there, which I think is actually why your caveat right at the start of this about, do you actually want to do this, is a really good point, because by committing to doing something like this, you are going to have to take yourself out of your comfort zone in order to make it work.
Absolutely. And do you know what? I've discovered that kind of business development is as much personal development as anything since starting this. What you refer to there, I went through an awful lot of that. I'm a natural introvert. I hate being on video. I hated the sound of my own voice, probably because my girlfriend's mum when I was at university, when I first met her, said, you know, you sound like David Beckham sucking helium. And I was like, what? Since then, I've had a real, you know, maybe it's changed as I've matured, I don't know, become a gentleman. But do you know what I mean? Like, you have to get over it. And being an introvert, I've had to sort of get over some of that and the shyness and all the rest of it. Having a podcast, it's been a bit of my savior, because I don't think I've had a single person say no to coming on. And that's amazing to me. That whole fear of rejection thing goes away, because you're not selling anything. And this isn't a Trojan horse thing either. It's because you don't have to just have potential clients on. It's about building a network and basically co-creating valuable content for your industry, for your ideal clients. That's what it's all about, really. And the strategic networking that goes. And then there's all sorts of other collaborations that you can have on the back of it. You know, you can add value in other ways, but it all starts with a good conversation. And it's the It is the absolute bedrock behind everything that I do. I mean, I've got another term called conversational relationship marketing, and that is absolutely behind everything. It's about how you go out and start and continue conversations with a specific group of human beings that you can either add value to, do business with, or collaborate with to open doors of opportunity for each other. Again, that's as simple as I can make marketing.
No, I think you're doing a cracking job with it, mate, honestly. So if I can, we're just about to come into land here, but there is one thing that I think potentially fits on both sides of the discussion that we've just had so far in the show. So the first side was, you know, maybe a bit more about how you structure your marketing and how you grow your business, etc. And then the second about how you start. So one of the mistakes I see a lot of people making is that they think of their own product or service offering as very one-dimensional. This is what we do. You come to us, we do that, you pay us, thank you very much, goodbye. Mm-hmm. They don't often think about how to have multiple levels of service. And ultimately, when you're looking at growing average customer value, you are looking to say, right, so you've already bought X from us, but now we can also do Y for you. Mm-hmm. So having more than one thing that you can that you can sell to them. And that doesn't necessarily mean they have to buy them all at the same time, but it's to continue that conversation with your customers, I suppose, as opposed to just continuing a conversation with new clients. Do you have any tips about looking at that? And secondly, in your phase one, phase two plan, where would that come, or would that become phase three in terms of growing your business from scratch?
So if I was to ask you, how would it impact your business if you were able to add new revenue streams without having to deliver any of the actual work?
My mouth would be open, my tongue hanging. I'd be like a dog going, yeah.
Well, that is why things like strategic partnerships can be massive, because a lot of people think one dimensional. Mm-hmm. They think this is the service we do, that's it. Or if I want to grow my business, I have to add new services, which means I either have to learn it or I have to hire someone in to do it or all that kind of thing. And so one of the key things, like the methodology that I use, is called the Growth Accelerator Ecosystem. I've been talking too long. And essentially what that is, that there are three accelerators of growth that I've just worked out over doing this for 16 years that have the biggest impact on growing a business. Boosting your authority, creating alliances, and building assets in a business, and assets that generate a return over time. So the alliance piece is what we're talking about here, because if you think about it, your business, your service, is just one point on the overall journey of your client. When somebody comes to you, it's because most likely some other business has solved a problem for that client. So they've got that solution. However, that has opened the door to another problem. You are that solution to that problem.
Yep.
When you finish with that client, you're going to have solved a particular problem, which will open up a whole new set of problems. Now, you can do one of two things. You can say, good luck. Or you can build those alliance partners. And I sort of say upstream and downstream. You'll understand why. And it's kind of thinking, if you are developing these relationships, you become almost like that holistic provider to your client rather than a transactional provider. Mm-hmm. Because if you're able to say, even at the very beginning when somebody comes in, so this is what we can do for you. What we also do, we don't just let you go off when we've done what we do. We are able to, we understand the journey you're on. Once you've done here, you're most likely to need XYZ, or you're going to want a number of other things. What we have collaboration and strategic partners where you don't have to do any of the searching. We vetted these people. These are blooming good at what they do. We can introduce you, but only when the time is right. And when you've got those kind of relationships with people, that's when you can, whether there's a commercial benefit, whatever that is going to look like, I call it your solution tackle box. What is it that is going to happen after they have finished with you? And then conversely, how you want to feed people into your business is about building relationships with those that are downstream.
Yep.
So for you, for example, websites, what happens before people need a website? Well, let's say they're new businesses. Well, they might need to incorporate. They might need to get an accountant. They might need to, register a domain name or something like that. Developing those kind of partnerships where then those people that have just done that, oh, by the way, you're going to probably want a website. Have a chat with Pete.
There you go. I'm just going to clip that bit out, actually. By the way, you're probably going to need a website. Just have a chat with Pete. I'm going to put it all over online, just that clip.
Well, put some music behind it, and that can be like a theme tune that you walk around with in your head all day.
That sounds like a challenge.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put some of the people that I know listen to this podcast, I wouldn't put it past them to do that. To send it.
I would absolutely love it. Please do, and send it in. And oh my God, that'd be brilliant.
So, mate, thank you so much for finding the time to come and talk to us. You've been absolutely brilliant. There is other stuff we could talk about, but Adam is in our Facebook group. So if you want to reach out to him, you can do so there. His website is thinklikeafish.co.uk. .co.uk. I knew I was going to get that wrong.
What I would do as well, what I do for the hosts and the audience, I have a special page where there's a number of things that people can get that will just help. And it will be thinklikeafish.co.uk/Pete.
There you go. thinklikeafish.co.uk/Pete. There will be a link to that in the show notes as well. So, thank you so much for your time, mate. I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you for allowing me to talk about myself.
No problem. Actually, I really should entitle this episode, Adam King Just Talks About Himself.
I'm not going to get my head out the door, but no, thanks ever so much. I massively, massively appreciate it. And it's always good to catch up and chew the fat.
Absolutely. No worries. And do go and check out the Client Catching podcast as well, because it is one of the regulars on my playlist, and Adam, you do a great job with it. So keep on going on, mate, and we'll speak to you soon.
Awesome. Take care.